storm is rising against the privileged minority of the earth.
This is why I say it's liberty or it's death. It's freedom for everybody or freedom for nobody.
This is an NBC News Hotline special report.
We're at a turning point in the history of this nation. We need to stand for freedom. There's an escalating authoritarianism and even a creeping fascism. Freedom is precious. If we don't fight for it, you lose it.
This much is clear.
We must rebel.
This is our country. We have always lived in it. We were happy. Then you came. We have to protect ourselves. We have to save our country. We have to fight for what is ours.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your brother, Miami Adiz. Welcome to this Class War Battlefield podcast segment. So, you know, in thinking, I've been thinking a lot about what COVID-19 means and the broader message that the disease is trying to communicate to all of us. And, you know, first and foremost, I think the easiest message that it's really communicating to us, and I know some people are going to think this is, you know, weird and, well, this is not scientific. European science, as I like to tell people, and I've told quite many people this, European science, for everything that it gives materially, it really lacks a spiritual basis. It does. And that lacking spiritual consciousness has left so much to be desired in its creations. Most of its creations leave us more empty than full. And that's problematic. Because if you're going to claim that your science is a force for good, it needs to fill people as much as it needs to occupy some part of their life. Because we have a lot of things that occupy parts of our lives that leave us empty, that disconnect us from people. And if that's the goal of what you're creating, then you're going to shatter not only humanity, but you're going to destroy the planet as well. Because the more and more that you disconnect humanity, the more and more you disconnect humanity from nature, and then the less respect for nature humanity has, and the more likely humanity is to destroy nature, which will ultimately lead to the decision by nature to destroy humanity first, which is kind of where we're at. But I digress. So one of the kind of messages I think COVID-19 is trying to send to us is we need to slow down. We need to slow down. I mean it when I say that. Because even before Donald Trump got into office, this society was very, very tired. Donald Trump has just accelerated how tired we all feel. But really think about it. How many of us, even before Donald Trump was elected, were happy with our jobs? Most of us hated our jobs. It never gave us any satisfaction. It never gave us any time to be with our children, our family, our friends. Remember at the beginning of all this when Chris Cuomo was caught bashing his job at CNN? And he got in trouble by CNN for that. But the reality is, you know, I'm a big believer that the ancestors, you might say God, doesn't allow stuff like that to become publicized for nothing. The reality is Chris Cuomo was speaking a truth that most people feel. Most people hate their jobs. And it's kind of nice to see a guy who's literally paid millions of dollars. It's kind of nice to hear him say, I hate my job. It offers nothing to me, and even less to the people who watch it. It's kind of nice to hear that, because then you know, at, you know, my level of the society, that it's not just you. It's everybody. Okay, everybody except for the true believers, and most of the true believers work at Fox. I know some of these people. You know some of these people. These folks, when they were born, were fed Kool-Aid, and that Kool-Aid has informed them all throughout their life. They don't see the realities of the society which they're in. They are so afraid of stopping this train wreck of an economy, this train wreck of a social culture. They're so afraid of stopping it that they will institute a dictatorship to keep it going. But that's, I suppose, another episode, maybe. Something else I think COVID-19... Something else I think COVID-19 is trying to really communicate to us is the reality. COVID-19 has revealed to us, should I say, the reality of the business cycle. How many of you have ever heard of that thing called the business cycle? Now, there's multiple meanings for the business cycle. But for the average person, I want you to think of the business cycle not in corporate terms. Because corporations, most of the time they talk about the business cycle, a lot of them are talking about the life cycle of a product. But for us, who are actually living in the culture that these corporations have created, I want you to think of the business cycle like this. It occurs every year. And it's predictive consumptive behavior. Predictive consumptive behavior. Think about all the things that you do, all the things that you celebrate, which entice you to consume. And then think about all the things that other people do, which entices them to consume. Now, thanks to things like social media, corporations literally can buy information from Facebook, Instagram, and other places to determine, one, how many birthdays will occur each day. So how many people were born on a given day. What ranges of ages we're talking about. How many people are turning 25, how many people are turning 26, how many people are turning 19. How many people, based on information they themselves have put on social media, are planning parties, where those parties are likely to be at. Some of the plans for those parties. So what stores are people hitting up? What wish lists are people compiling? You could buy that information sometimes from Amazon. I mean, you can literally, as a corporation, based on this information, you can look at and project possible revenues based on those that information. But, and that's kind of a microscopic way of looking at this, but from a macro level, when we're talking business cycles, more business cycle, by the way, the not business cycle, we're talking about like the holidays. You know, we're talking about those major periods during the year when people are going to be traveling, when they're going to be more likely to go on vacation, to go shopping for clothes, for electronics. There's literally companies that all they do is spend time figuring out the consumptive habits of people in this country, and showing on a graph the business cycles that certain businesses can expect. So when certain businesses can expect peak revenue or possible peak revenue, or when they can expect a slump in revenue, and thus companies can literally plan how they're producing material according to those documents. That is your consumer, that's your business cycle. COVID-19 has broken that cycle. COVID-19 has broken that cycle. It's almost as if COVID-19 is trying to remind us that we are more than consumptive behavior. It's almost as if COVID-19 is trying to remind us that we are more than consumptive behavior. It's almost as if COVID-19 is trying to remind us that we are more than consumptive behavior. Now, why would we have to recall that we are more than consumptive behavior? Is it possible because we have been called consumers for so long that we ourselves are starting to believe it? If you were born after 1999, it's likely that you have never seen, or are less likely to have seen, a sign referring to you yourself as a citizen. If you were born after 2010, it's likely you've never seen, outside of going to maybe get a passport done or something like that, you've never seen signs referring to yourself as a citizen. We have been ingrained to see ourselves as consumers. And as consumers, all we do is destroy. We never see ourselves as healers. We never see ourselves as builders. We are taught to believe that there's a group of special people in this country who are makers. Conservatives like to tout this, and these are these fake corporate conservatives out here who are on Fox News and such. They're not really conservatives. They just use conservatism as a means of spreading their propaganda. But they tell you all the time, oh, there are makers and there are takers. And then there are you, the real Americans. Well, wait a minute. We're taught via these people that there's a special group of individuals who make a lot of stuff. And then we're taught that there's another group of individuals who are takers, who don't make anything, don't contribute anything, but take a lot of stuff. And then we're taught that there's this third special group who don't question the makers, who hate the takers, who, I suppose, go to work every day and just are happy that the makers give them something to do, give them meaning for their lives. And if you aren't content with that, if you're not willing to just say, yeah, you can take advantage of my labor and pay me garbage for it, then you're not only un-American, but you're a taker? How is that? No. Anyway, we're taught that there's a special group. And what we are seeing rather rapidly, and I mean this, is that, like the psychopathic mentalities that they foster, they've completely reversed the roles. They've projected onto the populace who they are. They are the takers. When Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk and Bill Gates and a bunch of these others, when in 4 or 5 months you're talking about they've grown their worth by hundreds of billions of dollars. There's like less, I think it's 7 or 8 people who's grown their worth by hundreds of billions of dollars at the same time when they are, I don't know if you can count Microsoft in this, but particularly Bezos, Musk, and some of the others, when they're underpaying dramatically their workers, especially Bezos, the makers and takers are actually rather obvious. Those who are productive are the makers. Those who are taking the money which their production is producing, which their production is guaranteeing is flowing, those are the takers. And COVID-19 has completely exposed that. You cannot argue anything different. To argue anything different is to literally invert reality. COVID-19 has exposed who the real makers and takers are. And it's brilliant. I'm sorry to get off on this, guys, but seriously, it's brilliant rebranding. It's just absolutely brilliant rebranding. Throughout the history of capitalism, the producers, the people who are actually working the shop floors, the people who are getting dirty, the people who are turning raw material from the earth into products, they've always been called labor. They've always been called labor. Why were they called labor? They were called labor because they were producing something. What is another word for producing something? You are making something. Always. They were called labor. It was hard work, so they were laboring. Like a woman gives birth to a child. They were giving birth to a product. They were producing something. They were making something. These were the makers. These were the makers. And yet, labor history tells us that while these were the makers, while these people were producing the goods that people needed throughout the country, throughout the world, those who benefited the most, particularly financially, who took the fruits from their labor, literally took the fruits from their labor, that's the money from their labor, were the wealthy. Those who didn't need it, but were greedy and took it, those were the takers. The robber barons were the takers. I mean, it's brilliant rebranding. It's brilliant rebranding. You take the idea of labor and producing and making something with your hands, and you put it on a bunch of people who did nothing but designed it on a piece of paper. You give them the traditional role of labor, of the people doing the hardest work. And then you cast on to the people doing the hardest work today the role of greedy, of a people beset by greed who must have money, when it is the exact opposite. It's fascinating. And COVID-19 has revealed it. Oh, COVID-19 has revealed it. Another great message that I think COVID-19 is trying to communicate to the rest of us is beware your friends. And know your friends. I've got to know good people, thanks to COVID-19, who I didn't even know existed. What do I mean? I've got to know those who are reasonable, who really want to have conversations about fixing things, about doing what is right for the community, about differences that we have. I've got to know some of those people. At the same time, I've also seen others come out and reveal their absolute ineptitude when it came to doing what is right for the community, doing what is right to stop the spread of this thing, doing what is right for the benefit of not only themselves, but their children, their family, and the like. As long as COVID doesn't touch them, they don't care about anything else. I've got to see who was selfish and who was selfless. And I think a lot of us have gotten to see that. We've been shocked. We've been hurt. It's shattered us. I mean, Trump was already revealing that already. But it's gotten even more distinctive since COVID-19 hit. At the same time, I think COVID-19 has also revealed how unprepared this world is to work together on big, life-changing, natural phenomena. I really think it has revealed not only how unprepared the world is for global changing events, but how unprepared we are to work together as a human species towards any global initiative that's going to benefit all people, no matter where they live. It's also, and I think this was more Trump than it, but it's also helped us to see the deadness, the death march within neoconservatism, neoliberalism, traditionalism, and all of these other corporate-based, selfish ideologies. And that's what they are. They are completely, completely selfish ideologies. They talk about individualism. They don't really care about individualism. It's about being selfish and doing what the self wants to do because the self wants to do it. And though they say, oh, well, you know, you could do it as long as it doesn't hurt anybody. Yeah, no. No, when they talk about corporate control of entire communities and countries, they're literally talking about fascism, and we know what fascism does. We know that it hurts people. We know that fascist-like dictatorial overseers. We know that corporations like dictatorial overseers. All we have to do is look at what happened in Flint, Michigan, and what happened in Michigan altogether. What happens when you got these corporate technocrats who care nothing about the people, just about money. Maybe we need a better name for these people. Moneycrats or something like that, you know, because that's what they care about. It's all about money to them. And COVID's revealed that. COVID has 100% revealed that these moneycrats is what I'll call them, I guess, right now. They care more about money and the economy than health and well-being. That's what COVID has completely revealed that. When you have a governor going on to national television saying, oh yeah, we'll sacrifice grandma and grandpa so we can have this economy looking good. What else are you supposed to think about them? And it's not like he was the only one. It's not like he was the only one. So COVID's revealed that. COVID's also revealed that a lot of these Christian communities are also very selfish. And that it's not about Jesus. It's not about them being able to worship together. It's about them being able to do whatever they want and forget everybody else. COVID-19 has brought out a lot and showed us a lot. It's also showed us, some people may not like this, it also showed us that most of what we do at these places we call work, in these buildings, unnecessary. Unnecessary. Absolutely unnecessary. And it showed us that we don't need sports. That world isn't going to end because we don't have sports. The world isn't going to end because we don't have sports. So much has been revealed by this virus. So much has been. Oh my God, and how did I even forget this one? COVID has revealed that there is an element within our government that is not interested in governing for the betterment of the society as a whole, but only for the betterment of corporations. When corporations needed money in March and April, there was a specific sect within Congress that tripped over themselves to approve $4 to $7 trillion for corporations. Left the money window open so that corporations, even ones that aren't even based in the U.S., can get money from them. And after passing an abysmal first package, I forgot even how much it was worth. It was really inadequate. This same element literally said, we have to wait to see how that first package we passed, how it works. We have to see exactly what happens with with the things that we've already done. So we must wait. They applauded when the $600 extra that they had passed in the first package, when that ran out. They applauded it. And a couple of financial newspapers wrote up articles touting how as soon as that ran out, a large number of people got off of unemployment suddenly. Suggesting that people were just sitting home twiddling their thumbs and collecting money. However, you know, and I was a little bit, you know, I was watching it and I'm like, maybe they were right. Maybe they were right. I had heard from a large employer in my town that he was having a hard time getting people in because they were making more sitting home on unemployment. So, you know what he did? Which, by the way, he doesn't own a company. It's a large manufacturing company, but it's not on the stock market. He refused that, he was smart for that. So you know what he did? Instead of getting PO'd and calling the governor and saying, these people are lazy, they are lazy, they should just come in here and work for whatever I want to give them. He said, I can understand that, because you know something? If I was trying to take care of a family and I was only getting $15 or $16 an hour, it's really not enough where we live. Now, some of you are listening and you're going, give me that. I would love that. I feel you. I mean that. But, you know, put that aside for a moment and really listen, because this is powerful. He said, I understand, because if it was me, I wouldn't be able to raise a family on that. So I told these people, you come in, I'll give you $18, $19 right off the street. And then he adjusted to people's who had been working there for years. He adjusted their incomes accordingly. My friend who was actually telling me the story, he'd been there for 18, 19 years. He got a $3.50 raise. Just boom like that. That actually might have been $4. But either way, that's what this guy did. And he said also, you know, 18, 19, when you come in, you'll be making 20 if you get hired on. Think about that. Now, this guy, when I say he owns a large manufacturing place, I'm not talking like, you know, 300-400 people. This guy owns multiple places, multiple countries, including multiple sites in this country. His company is large. To make that decision is huge. How many big companies do you know that did that? But it was warranted. And instead of saying that he was going to institute it, oh, as like, you know, hazard pay or something like that, he made it permanent. Earth to Jeff Bezos. He made it permanent. Pay your people. Because Lord knows, if you think that this stuff ain't going to hit you because, you know, you're too rich to have it happen, oh, trust me when I tell you, it's coming for you. Justice. We are in an age of justice. I figured this out a couple of weeks back. I was listening to Martin Luther King. I can't remember what speech it was, but I was listening to a bunch of his speeches. And he made a mention of that beautiful sight that he always said, you know, the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice. And I realized as I was listening to it, I'm like, you know something? A lot of people don't realize, but justice is a period of time. That when you enter justice, it's not just one quick moment. Oh, no, 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 no. No. When you hit a period of justice, it's literally a period of justice. You go through a period of massive transformation and adjustment until the balances are level again. And to all of these people, I'm telling you, I'm telling Bezos, I'm telling the Walton family, all of them, y'all think that you have it easy, that there ain't nothing that can touch you. You crazy. I don't care how many times you got Christian God-fearing people praying over you and praying for your company. Your company is out of balance with the moral order of this planet in this universe. You will crumble. It's happened to everyone before you. You are no different. It will happen to you. Same goes to Elon Musk. Get back into balance. Elon Musk is considered one of the most mentally intellectual people of a generation. Mental intelligence means nothing if you have no real spiritual or emotional intelligence. And it's clear that he's lacking both of those in significant numbers. You got to get with it, Elon. You have to get with it. The fact that none of you guys have learned from the past, other than just how to manipulate money so you can have so much and you can take so much from your employees, it's sad. To me, it's horribly sad because this is the type of thing that happens before a civilization is cracked. And what I mean by cracked is the culture becomes so shattered that it can't be put back together, and the people at the top think everything is great. Because they got all this money and they're still playing their games and it's all nice and hunky-dory for them. And then suddenly something happens that shatters that bubble. And they overreact to it, which then brings on a crisis within the community, within the society. Which then leads them to overreact usually internationally before it would be with the other tribes. And it leads the community around them to have to turn on them. And that's when you get wars that bring down once thought to be indestructible civilizations. That's when you get wars that first look like that indestructible civilization is going to persevere. But then their shell is cracked. And then their shell is completely, that bubble is burst. And in marches the armies that were never supposed to be able to get to them. And it's over. They become the hunted. They were the hunter for a long time, but then they become the hunter, the hunted. And what they built is burnt down before their eyes as a combination of the foreign invaders and their and the civilian population, which they had abused into submission for so many years, turns hostile towards them. And everything that they stood for is destroyed. And the society is rebuilt with them no longer in it. They're either in jail or in the ground. Some of them get exiled, but most don't. Heed this warning. Every time when I look back at what the Hopi said, when I look at what the Iroquois said, when I look at what some African tribes have said, when I look at what some European psychics have said, and then I look at what happened in Rome, and I look at what happened in Germany, and I look what happened in World War I, and I look at what the Bible says about evil in the land. And I look at what a lot of these churches have become. I look at what a lot of people in this society have become. And I see the perfect recipe for disaster. You have an overinflated, egotistical, supremacist-oriented masterclass, an aristocracy, an oligarchic class, which feels in their minds and in their hearts that they're the best of the society and they're the best of the world, and that they should shape this world and this society the way that they want to, forgiving the cost to nature and to the ordinary person. You have these people who hate through their actions. They hate and despise everyone that's not themselves. And yet, history tells me, every other civilization who were headed by similarly minded people fell, and fell hard, and fell in ways that that civilization would have never guessed. And the people at the top, they ultimately got what they got coming, what they had coming. But it was so tragic to see the societies, the civilizations have to fall so far in order to get rid of those elements that were so destructive. I don't wish for any of this. I don't, because contrary to popular belief, I actually love this country. I do. But at the same time, there's so much evil in the land. either the minds of the wealthy will be changed by persuasion, or they will be changed by punishment. That is what is clear throughout all the sources that I've witnessed and I've read. Get the house in order, or else the house will be put in order for you. COVID-19 is a shot across the bow. It is telling you, get your house in order and do it now. To those who are on the streets, who are in the homes, we have a role to play. We have to start forgiving ourselves for the bad choices we have made, one. Two, we have to stop thinking of ourselves as consumers. We are the makers. They are the takers until they prove otherwise. We are the makers. They have fought like hell to make us forget that we are the makers. But we are the makers. We have to start making this economy great again. And I mean that. It's kind of ironic, you know. Trump had Make America Great Again, but really we need to make this economy great again. We do. And we can only do it from the grassroots up. Really. Really. Well, I had actually only intended this to be like a 20-minute piece, but lo and behold, I could ramble on, I suppose. So this will be an episode. Well, part of an episode, actually. You'll see. I'm your brother, Vladimir Deese. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, you can always reach out to me. I love hearing from you guys. Again, I am Vladimir Deese. I'll see you guys on the next one. Peace. There's a shadow on the faces of the men who sent the guns to the wars that are fought in places where their business interest runs. On the radio talk shows and the TV, you hear one thing again and again, how the USA stands for freedom, and we come to the aid of a friend. But who are the ones that we call our friends? These governments killing their own, or the people who finally can't take anymore, and they pick up a gun or a brick or a stone. And there are lives in the balance. Thank you.